I'm Ryan Gurnett. Dennis, Twitter hates me. Do you hate me?
The jury's out.
Will Webb, do you hate me?
No, I don't think so. I hate Twitter, though.
I think we can all agree on that. She's got hoops and loops and a case of the moops. A zing, a dang, a donga. Watch it, spring has sprung-a.
Woo-hoo! From the struggling studios in Buffalo, New York, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the funny of being a musician in the 716. In today's episode, we are just bursting at the seams with Buffalo music goodness. We recorded an interview last week with Rick Rhodes, the owner of Rick's Record Shack and Wifey's Closet in Hamburg, New York.
Yeah, and we asked him about the role that record stores play in the local music ecosphere, his years of working with original bands on his TV show Buffalo Night Out TV, and if he knows the mystery of whatever happened to the billions of circulated copies of Frampton Comes Alive.
Also, Rick and Dennis will face off in a game of Real Not Real Rick's Record Shack Edition. I'll recap and preview the best local concerts. We'll talk about Sugar City's Band Lottery, and we will present the first edition of our Band on the Street segment, featuring quick interviews with Cooper the Band, Paragon, Urban Planning, and Avid the Band, and songs from each.
We're also going to get into Ryan's controversial concert review. He teased that at the top of the show a little bit on allwnyradio.com, which garnered an unheard of 110 likes and provoked a mostly deserved shitstorm from Twitter fans. We'd like to welcome to the podcast formally. It is Will Webb is our third with us.
Hello, everyone.
So let me tell you about Will a little bit. I've known Will for how long? We know each other, like 12 years,
probably
maybe?
12 or 13 years at this point, yeah.
Yeah, then Will used to play, still plays in a band called The Great Mistake.
Right.
And we used to play with them in Middleman all the time. Like, when I was in my band Middleman, we had probably, 20 shows together. And you know the struggle.
Yes. Yep. Just like you guys. I mean, we've all been musicians for a long time, and starting out with The Great Mistake, and trying to find people in your area, especially in this area, who play the kind of music that complements you. Middleman was a perfect fit and an early favorite for all of us.
Yeah, we were both kind of poppier groups, so
yeah.
It's probably what made us share a lot of bills.
It was a lot of fun, and it was nice to get on the same bills and play some different places that we hadn't played before.
Will does, you're still playing, I should say, to cover the musician angle. You're playing today with the Leones, right?
Yep. I joined the Leones about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. We just played a show at Babeville on February 3rd.
All right, don't show 3rd. Off.
Sorry, I'm just Jeez. Saying. It's definitely a different step from The Great Mistake. Really
cool.
Great bunch of guys. And obviously, I love The Great Mistake, but it was nice to kind of get out and try a different band since I haven't been in a different one for about 13 years.
Oh, you've been monogamous.
Yes, very monogamous. I mean, The Great Mistake's probably my sixth band, but it's the one I've been with the longest, and it's just one of those things where old habits don't die.
And Will's going to be, you're doing a little bit of everything here on the podcast with us. You're writing a little bit, you're recruiting people, you're helping us get songs together and stuff, and obviously on-air talent.
I don't know about the talent part, but I'm on-air, that's for sure.
Ryan, why don't you, I have no idea. I might as well be living in a cave. I have no idea what's happening in the Buffalo scene. I haven't heard anything. I haven't read anything.
You haven't read anything?
Pull me at not anything. Well, maybe a choice review or two and a few hundred angry tweets.
So first, to kind of wrap up some shows that have happened the last month, Dennis and I, actually, on March 5th, we went and checked out Cooper the Band at Mohawk Place. We're going to have some interviews with those bands coming up. It was a great show. Paragon opened, and they kind of have a cool pop-punky Goo Goo Dolls kind of sound. Ooh. Yeah, and we Avid the Band, they had to play an acoustic set because their bass player had a family emergency. Hashtag the struggle is real. They still played a pretty cool set, though, you know, they're way better electric. And Cooper the Band is amazing.
Yeah, they were.
They played a great set. They just have this glow and look and sound that just bleeds rock star. Like, you just... you feel like you're in the presence of someone who will be more popular and is going places when you're around them. At least that's what I thought.
Yeah, no, I'd say that they had a really finished presentation on stage. They really were tight. The songs were really awesome. The showmanship was great. And our interview with them was really cool, too. We were outside Mohawk Place, and they had their tour bus. And we asked them, you know, if they had any pre-band rituals. Or pre-show rituals, pardon me. They were really nice people, and we'll hear more from them probably on the music scene, too. Watch out for those kids.
You'll find them.
What's your guys' pre-show ritual, then?
I usually sing on the way driving, like, but it's not like a, you know, it's nothing superstitious. It's just trying to warm my voice up. Yeah, and I'd say if I had any sort of, you know, practice ritual, in addition to just on the way there, warming my voice up, I like to stand with my guitar and like play through the entire set, like just like standing like in my bedroom or whatever, like just put on the electric guitar and just sing it in real time, everything that I'm going to do, and just sort of get myself ready for the rhythm of those songs and that performance. So, and I feel like when I get to the show, then I'm a little bit better prepared.
Mine involves a lot of stretching, some painkillers, sometimes some BioFreeze to take care of my arms. But in the past, you know, I've done, I spent for about 7 years, I threw up before every show I played. I think that would be some sort of pre-show ritual. I had a singer who actually believed that it wasn't going to be a good show unless I threw up before it.
You're like a disgusting Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, exactly. With a three-piece band, like, we could all fit in the vehicle, so we could all drive to shows together. So we would sing stuff with three-part harmonies.
Oh, that's
and we'd
great.
All harmonize with each other on the ride in.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so I had a singer in one band. He would steal beef jerky from the closest gas station before every show. It's just everyone kind of has the thing that they do that makes them comfortable. I jump around a bit just to kind of get myself energized, mm-hmm. too, and... Yeah,
that's a good idea. I'm usually pretty flat-footed, I have to say, by the time I get, like, usually I've just had a massive meal, too, and I, you know, get to the show. And what about you, Will? Do you do anything special?
Yeah, I mean, the only real rule that I have that makes me feel better, especially if you're playing at a place like Tudor Lounge or Mohawk or anything where you're just going to be hit with bright lights for 40 minutes, whatever I'm doing right before the show, I grab a big bottle of water or whatever it is at the bar and I just slam that before I get up there. I can finish my beer and stuff while I'm on stage, but it just got to get that coolness because then I got nothing but lights in my face for a half hour to 40 minutes.
You like, to be hydrated.
A little bit,
well,
yeah.
Hydrated.
Especially if I'm going to be pushed to the side of the stage as some of those stages make me.
Are you saying because you're the bass player?
Yeah, I would say because, you know, I have one amp and one instrument and I'm done. Whereas, you know.
So you got to get yourself a pedal board to claim some real estate. Ryan's learned
that
trick.
Right, yeah. See, that's what I got to do.
He's a bass player with a pedal board. I think there's one pedal on that
pedal
board.
There's two pedals. There's two pedals.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been times where you're 16. Standing right next to a cymbal and you're like, please don't hit the cymbal too hard because I'm right here.
Oh, yeah, I played bass in Middleman, I played bass in cover bands, too, but getting stuck next to the drummer can suck, especially if you got a cymbal happy one. I don't think Rick's bad. Do you think he's cymbal happy?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, I used to play, TJ was cymbal happy.
Yes.
I still get some ringing in my ears occasionally that I'm pretty sure I can trace back to him.
Dennis actually hit me in the head with his headstock the last show we played. He was just trying to usher me into the corner.
You wouldn't go willingly.
All right, so some other concerts. Uh, Joywave came to town.
Oh.
And they brought a whole bunch of cool bands from Rochester.
Oh, cool.
The first opening band was a Buffalo band, Humble Braggers. I got to the show a little late. I only saw like three songs. They were awesome, what I saw.
Oh,
and
great.
I talked
I love
to some
that
people
name.
In the crowd, and they thought they were great. And I've been listening to them on Spotify, and I think they're fantastic. And Joywave even came on and said they think that they're the best band in Buffalo.
Oh, wow.
So, high praise.
Definitely.
After them was a band called Cops, spelled K-O-P-P-S. The three dudes came on the stage. They looked like they were dressed like Bond henchmen. They had like these black shirts with these like leather straps in front. And it all had kind of like a German kind of craftworky kind of look to it.
Oh.
And then so these three dudes just start jamming, but they're dancing together. It's like choreographed and they're dancing together. And then the singer is just like this stick of TNT who just explodes on the stage, dancing around, singing. She's got an awesome voice. And, like, the band didn't stop this choreographed dancing the whole time.
Huh.
And, like, the music was great, but I was even just as impressed that, you know, 40 minutes of choreographed dance like that is exhausting. It takes tons of practice.
Like, yeah,
what they were
sure.
able to do, I think, is fantastic.
Oh, great.
And then Joywave was really cool. This is another band that I didn't really know a lot about before hearing about the show, but you listen to them on Spotify, and it's like, I know that song. It's like,
yeah.
I know that song. I've heard that song. So, you know, even not being super familiar with their music, I felt like I knew the tunes.
Yeah.
And, excuse me.
Bless you.
The singer is charismatic, and he's having a fun time. They have this keyboard player who does, like, these high leg kicks, and he's just jamming. Like, everyone in the band was impressive and moving around, but, like, the singer up front and this keyboard player, who I think does kind of some of the music writing and arranging, along with the singer, like, they were getting down, and they had a great time. And the whole concert was a blast. And like I said, the Rochester band, so the place was packed with Rochester. There were probably more Rochester people than Buffalo people there, but like crowd was super into it. So it was an awesome show.
Oh, it sounds like fun. You got them on our Spotify playlist?
Yes, I do. They are on the Spotify playlist for March. So if you check out,
awesome.
I'm posting lots of links on our social media. So if you can find our lists on Spotify,
yeah, it'll be in this episode notes too.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. And then. Then just talk about a few upcoming shows. Bit Brigade, which is a touring electronic act, is going to be performing.
That's exactly what they sound like they are.
The music of The Legend of Zelda.
Cool.
So that's going to be at the Evening Star on April 15th. It sounds like it's going to be a really fun show. You know, I'm a video game guy, and of all the video game music, some of the Zelda stuff, some of the most impressive stuff.
Oh, yeah. I actually went back a couple of weeks ago to YouTube just to, like, listen to some gameplay of Zelda, like the original one. And, yeah, it's still, like, holds a lot of power over me because I spent so many, like, months not hanging out with girls playing it.
Yeah, there's other bands who tour, there's Arm Cannon, there's the Mini Bosses who cover these video game songs, the old ones, and they're all, what they're able to do is really impressive because...
Yeah, that's a thing, that's been a thing for a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I mean, if you figure that the original stuff wasn't written to be performed on guitars, basses, drums, it was just made on a little MIDI player, like, and when you see people really fleshing it out, it's the musicianship it takes to do that is a lot more than you might think.
Oh, sounds like fun.
So I'm definitely going there, I'm super excited about that. We've got Boston Manor, Free Throw, Home Safe, Hot Mulligan, and Safe Face at Mohawk Place on April 10th. That's
okay.
A pop-punky emo kind of show. It looks like it's going to be a lot of cool, upbeat bands. Probably you could probably get some good dancing in. And then on April 11th, also at Mohawk Place, we have Basic Printer with local bands Dream Beaches and the aforementioned Humble Braggers. I listen to Basic Printer, kind of fun indie rock.
Okay.
And then I think we've talked about Dream Beaches on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of my favorite local bands, and the Humble Braggers are one of my new, more favorite local bands. So I think that's going to be a really great show. It's two good up-and-coming local bands with a nice headliner.
That's great. Are you going to be at that one? Are you going to be covering that for the podcast?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I have to find out.
Or for allwnradio.com?
I have to find out if they'll let me in.
Okay. After last time.
So another fun local event happened recently was the Sugar City Band Lottery. The way that this works is a bunch of musicians show up. In this case, it was 44 musicians.
So tell us about, real quick, though, what Sugar City is. Now, they're down on...
They're on Niagara Street.
Niagara Street.
They're a local art space, and it's all volunteer-run. The way the band lotto works is you write your name on a piece of paper.
And you're involved in this.
Yes,
you are
I'm absolutely
in the lottery.
I
you're in the running.
So excited about this.
And I wanted to get involved too, but I just don't have time for it.
It's like planning rehearsals with a group of new people out of nowhere is tough.
It sounds awesome.
But yeah, they popped all the names in a giant plastic jack-o'-lantern, and they pulled them out five at a time, and whoever are the five people they pull out, you're in a band with. And the ages went probably anywhere from 21 to, there's a guy there probably about 50, 55, like some older folks. Different levels of musicians, from people who barely play to people who've been playing for 30
years.
Right,
and this was just all in the jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what instrument you played, didn't matter age.
And, you know, if you end up in a band with five drummers, then you have to figure out how to make it work.
Then you win.
Then no one will show up on time. Your whole set will just be the setup.
I'll be like, can I get a ride? Can I get a ride?
I got a great group of people, notably Brian Johnson from the band Mutual Friends, who I reviewed when they played with Wild Rivers a few weeks ago at Mohawk Place.
Great.
He's one of the people in my band. I was actually really excited. The review I wrote for him came out the day after I met him, and I had to look back. I wrote a lot of reviews those 2 weeks. I didn't say anything bad about them right, and I saw him. I'm like, okay, he was awesome. Good.
Was this one of the reviews where I questioned their right to exist?
No, I don't believe so.
That's what you were wondering. Okay, very good. Well, good.
So, we got a five-piece band, and, you know, what's great, we went in, we were called Broski, that's our name.
Excellent.
And, it's so interesting when you get in a group like this, because, you know, when I met you, you had songs written.
Yeah.
But for this, we're really supposed to come up with all original material from once the band formed.
That's great.
So, even just sitting down in a room being like, what genre do we want to be? Mm-hmm. It's just a really interesting process. And they asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, I can play a lot of instruments. I've always wanted to sing. My bass player, Rita, gave me a great line, and she said, can you perform? Anyone can sing, but can you perform? And I'm like, for 20 minutes? I can perform. And she's like, okay, you got it. So I'm the front man for Broski. We are going to be like in a dancey electro punk.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some synths and some craziness, some funky bits.
Great. Have you given a thought to what's going to, do you guys have any sort of visual approach that you're taking for it? Like, you're talking about performance. Are we also talking about stagemanship, the spectacle?
I'm going to move around.
You're going to move.
Yes. I'm going to be exciting.
That will be a change.
I can do it on stage.
No, you get your pluck up once.
Yeah,
when
the adrenaline gets pumping, I can usually run for a little while. So in a 20-minute set seems fine. I've been looking at Polish shirts. I actually found shirts that say Broski on them that are like red and white. So we might choose to kind of go that route. I don't know how many. I'm like 8% Polish, so I don't know about the rest of the group.
Okay.
But we haven't really decided on any aesthetics like that.
Okay, but you'll keep us posted. This is going on. You're going to have practices coming up. And then what is the culmination of this entire thing?
The culmination is on June 2nd. We will be playing a show at what I've been heard referred to as the Polish Library. I don't know where this Polish library is off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And would have looked it up if I had any forethought into doing this. But if you go on the Sugar City website, you can find the address. I'm going to be talking about it more next time. I'll definitely include the address.
Sure.
Dennis, put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Get in the show notes.
So, all that money is going to go back into Sugar City to help them do some more stuff with the community.
The proceeds from the
concert.
It's
definitely worth going. And,
cool. I'm looking forward to hearing your updates on this band lottery.
And one of the upcoming episodes before that June 2nd date, I have talked to a few of the organizers and a few of the performers, and they're all interested in coming on and talking with us. So
cool.
Hopefully
we'll get their
in.
Voices heard on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That'd
Absolutely.
Be great.
Absolutely.
Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable? Or was I miserable because I listened to pop music?
They say there's no such thing as bad publicity, but Ryan, I think you might have defied that axiom with your review published 10 days ago on allwnyradio.com. How did we get here?
Well, I went to see Lights, and I did not. When I heard Lights, I thought, this is a nice female singer-songwriter-y type. Be a fun concert.
Mm-hmm.
I went, and it was just a full-on pop con. And Lights put on an amazing performance.
Yeah.
She was like a Gwen Stefani with like this giant mound of red hair just dancing around, costume changes, video monitors. if I thought her music seemed compressed, which I do a little bit, everything live had like 10 times more energy and just 10 times less polish. And that's what she needed.
Oh, wow.
It was great. It was, she was one of the best performers I've seen in a while. It's a memorable show. And she made up for two terrible opening acts. Let me read from my review.
Yeah, why don't you give us the title of that review, first of all?
I did not title the review, to be honest. Scott Leffler writes those titles.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was...
Way to go, Scott.
Light positive performance makes up for opening acts.
So, Lights, the band...
Yes.
Their positive performance makes up for the opening bands.
Yes.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, first was Toronto-based DCF. The rapper-singer was dressed like a reject from an off-Broadway production of Hamilton and played a set of tepid pop music with no discernible properties. He performed solo with a laptop and a few small mixers he occasionally adjusted. He told some stories, none of them interesting, to a crowd that barely acknowledged his presence. The auto-tune on his vocals was so thick that he could have survived the evening without actually hitting a single note. I'm sure DCF is great for bar mitzvahs and high school dances, but his solo boy band routine was nothing more than an irritating waste of time this particular evening. And, just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, Chase Atlantic came on. Oh, there's a typo there that was never fixed. God damn it. Chase Atlantic came on a set of inoffensive bubblegum pop rock. While the band played their own instruments, vocal Mitchell's Cave's white Jodeci look, complete with white guy dreadlocks and an R. Kelly Bobby Brown jacket off-the-shoulder shrug, ruined the whole thing. The bass and drums were pretty tight, and the guitarist played well, but it was all lost in the boom of the speakers. The songs felt like the same thing over and over, and I couldn't help but think the best way to describe Mitchell Cave is a clown. I was happy when it was over.
Well, this generated a lot of backlash from fans on Twitter.
Yes. I have never had a reaction like this, and I've written some negative reviews. I can be very succinct and a little, insensitive, I'll go with.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this is the first time that something has exploded like this. So the first 2 to 3 hours, it was like, whoa, what's going on? And then the next, like, 48 hours were, this is really hilarious and absurd. And then after that, it's just been like, people still aren't over this yet? So I've started writing reviews 15 years ago. I didn't have Twitter. I'm not used to a forum in which I can write about a touring artist and have them see it. Like, sometimes a local artist might see your review, but usually a band comes to town, they leave. There's a good chance they're not seeing the review you write.
Right.
This was very different.
Ryan's going to actually read some of these tweets. Some of these he probably hasn't seen before. And just sit back and listen to his retelling and reliving of that fateful review.
From Harlow, you can always tell a Buffalo music writer because they all sound just as negative as each other, playing mostly on the Mr. Goodbar stage for 20 years doesn't count. All right. Alicia writes, if you've been a musician for 20 years, how can you say these things? This isn't constructive criticism. This is just plain hating on people because it's not your style. And all the talk about their appearance. Weren't you there for the music? If you didn't like it, leave it. Can't believe I just wasted... Oh, sorry. This is from Dakota. Can't believe I just wasted my time reading this article. If you can't find room for constructive criticism, then why bother? Putting people down like that and making fun of their looks makes you sound like a major asshole. From Victoria. I'm a little moved here. I just have to slow down. I'm going to try not to cry. I told myself I wouldn't. Honestly, you should be ashamed of yourself. You call yourself a music critic, but all you critiqued was the appearance of the opening bands and the 16-year-old party vibe. It's a concert. What the hell did you expect? Please take this down. It's disrespectful and rude. It's we go, by the way.
So talk about the Up We Go, by the way. What does that comment mean?
She has a song called Up We Go. I misrepresented it as On We Go. And to be honest, it's something I could have talked to Scott Leffler about fixing sometimes. There's usually a typo or two that falls through the cracks. But at this point, I'm kind of just doing it to be contrarian. But any idea that I'm not a good critic because I got two words wrong is pretty ridiculous. I had a friend compare it to, he's like, well, what would happen if you wrote a review about the Beatles and you said you really liked their song, Hey Jewel? And then I asked him why the hell he was comparing the Beatles to Chase Atlantic, and that ended the discussion. All right. This is from Becky Jones. Hey, Becky. I find it so disrespectful of you to sit there and say all those things. The support act that you decided to bash are the most hardworking guys I have ever had the privilege to come across. So one small-minded person's opinion doesn't mean shit. And we have Elliot, whose Twitter name is Chasing Bitches. Making sure we know that. This isn't even constructive criticism. This is just flat out being an asshole. Queen of the Boneyard says, this was trash. Utter garbage. I'm not judging you on your reviewing skills and not your fucking looks, mate. This was just ... I was crying in laughter. DCF had me in awe. Chase had me dancing. And Lights Needs No Comment. It's Up We Go, by the way.
Another one.
I believe there had to be at least 20 of them. And this is from Andrew II, parentheses, melodrama. This is garbage journalism. Ignoring the snobbiness, being a bully, do you have any idea how many basic facts you got wrong? And finally, from Amanda. This review is a joke. If you know so much about music, actually talk about that instead of insulting people you know nothing about on appearances. And Mitchell doesn't have white guy dreadlocks. Try again, bud. It's whatever that their music isn't for you, but don't be an ass about it. And I will concede a point here. They are not white guy dreadlocks. They're white guy braids.
Yeah, it's braids.
Which I believe is worse than white guy dreadlocks. But I'll have to consult the internet.
Dennis, you're awfully quiet over there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just don't really find this very funny. I mean, it's cool, whatever.
Wait, what?
No, sure, they have a major label behind them. They come to town, it's easy to, pick on them, but Mitchell, Christian, and Clinton are still people. I think they're entitled to some respect. You know, I don't know how they played that night, but if you actually listen to the music, they're, this is Chase Atlantic, they're actually pretty cool.
You know their names?
Dude, are you serious? You're messing with me.
No, I am proud to say that I am a Chase Atlantic fan. We call ourselves Chasers.
Oh, my gosh.
Get out of here. No way. I offered you tickets to go review the show with me, and you passed.
Yeah, I was busy, and I mean, I was kind of nervous at seeing Mitchell so close, to be honest. But listen, I'm just saying, the review, it really is shit. Their music is hardly bubblegum rock. They're blurring the line between a nocturnal aesthetic and primal bliss. And you would know that if you stopped fetishizing willfully obscure bullshit and cleaned Frank Zappa's jizz out of your ears!
You do not disrespect Frank Zappa in my house!
Get over here.
Guys,
that's my pedal foot! Guys. Stop it!
Barcord finger!
You can't pull my hair when you don't have any!
Oh, yeah, the unfair advantage. He's slippery. Right, no, he's greasy.
Stop. The broomstick knob doesn't go there.
This can't be happening.
All right, you know what?
Fuck this. Mix this shit by yourself. I'm done.
Will, I think he's really leaving.
I don't know, man. He's really freaked out there all of a sudden.
And the Descendants suck, and Ben Folds is almost definitely a racist.
Oh, man, he's coming back.
See you in practice.
All right, well, let's hear the interview from Rick's Record Shack.
Yeah, we better.
Hey, this is Allison Pipitone. You are listening to The Struggle is Real, Buffalo Music Podcast on allwnyradio.com.
Yeah, those are all hacked. Take care.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Do you have the new Depeche Mode record?
Yeah, it's over there, but it sucks.
You have the latest Pixies album?
Yeah, but it sucks. All that new stuff sucks, but it's over there.
You know, actually, I was thinking of getting into something vintage anyway. I don't know, maybe the Doors?
Really? Never had you figured for a Doors fan.
I'm not really a Doors fan, but sure, I'd like to get into them.
No, my friend. Doors fans aren't made. They're born. I think right now in Africa, there's some guy madly beating on a drum. He's a Doors fan. Or an old lady on the bus sucking humbugs. She's a rider on the storm, but she ain't never heard the sounds. So what about you?
Well, I heard a record of theirs last night at the party.
Yeah?
And I've always liked Lover Madly.
Well, if you become a Doors fan, Lover Madly is the only song you won't lack.
All right. I guess I should start with their greatest hits?
Hey! Greatest hits albums are for housewives and little girls. You're not serious. You don't want to be a Doors fan. Get out of my store. We're closed. Get out of here.
No. I want you to show me the way.
Was that a Frampton reference in my store?
No. No lyrics. Just words.
All right. So today we are here at Rick's Record Shack and Wifey's Closet in Hamburg, New York. We're going to talk with owner, musician, and former host of Buffalo Night Out, Rick Rhodes. Rick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Rick.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking time.
You got a great record store here. I found some awesome stuff. I got some Elvis Costello here.
Nice.
I got some Zappa here. It's a great selection. I definitely recommend people coming out and doing it.
And there's White. Now, tell us the concept with Wifey's half of the
venture. Well, I have a wifey, and she has a closet.
Right. Yeah. And so it's not just a record store here, but it's like half record store and half, like, vintage clothing.
Yeah, new clothing, a lot of new clothing. A lot of it's hippie style kind of deal.
Yeah.
So.
Cool, so it's like throwback vintage, kind of fits
with the
vinyl stuff.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. And then she's got jewelry, and we got some collectibles going on. So it's good stuff.
Great.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So, Rick, why open a record store now?
Because vinyl is vinyl. Vinyl's awesome. It has such a warm feeling to it because you get more frequencies on vinyl than you do, like CD, MP3, all that.
Yeah. Yeah, so as a local musician, independent record stores have always represented to me a crucial link to local audiences and to other musicians. You know, like we could put our music up on consignment, learn about shows, and seek other musicians. Do bands still, like, hang up flyers? Is there a community? You get guys coming in here, they're from bands?
Yeah, which is cool. Yeah, I got flyers on the door over there. But we're going to have a community board, and we're doing a local wall in the back room that we'll be opening up.
Oh, that's
so we're
great.
Working on that.
Okay, so the local wall is going to have all artists from around here, and it's going to be, like, a consignment deal, I assume.
A lot of them will be, like, old records from the 70s and stuff. Like
Rick James.
Good stuff.
Who else is from
Talis?
Okay. Yeah, they
just
made records. Are they from Buffalo? I think there is a connection.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Jamestown, I guess.
Yep. That's
10,000 Maniacs.
Of course.
Not that old.
Natalie Merchant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff from around here. We have a great music scene. It's incredible. And at some point, we're going to film out of here. Get back on Channel 7. Local bands, yeah.
So you're going to have a performance space where people actually come and play live?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be working on that. We're just getting this situated in here.
Yeah. How long have you been here for?
About 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just got all these racks, as you can see, from Record Theater. And
This is like a legit
setup. They're
stuffed
in that room right now, and so we're getting organized.
Yeah, it gets a little bigger, a little more full every time I'm here.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's... We're just building an inventory of brand new records, which is quite the feat.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like you're making anything, you're just putting it back into it. But you know what? It's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But that would be great to get some bands in here, too, and to let them, you know,
play. Oh, I
play
can't
for.
Wait to that point. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it will come back at some point.
Yeah, do you have bands on the scene that you talk to right now that you cultivated relationships during your TV show?
You know who? Dave Constantino.
Oh, yeah.
From Talis. The Dave Constantino Band, he's a great guy. He's got a music store, Limelight Music in East Aurora.
Oh, I didn't know that was his.
He sells some records, too. So he's a good dude.
Oh, great. He'll come by and do a performance, you think?
Yeah, probably at some point. Yeah.
Cool. Do you ever hear The Lady or the Tiger?
Oh, yeah.
Band? Yeah. You should have them on. It's mine and Ryan's band.
Yeah, that's cool.
You should have them on. They're super great.
Yeah?
Yeah, you guys got to get me some music so I can hear it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
we're
going to
be... Actually, we're working on some vinyl right now.
Yeah, we're going to do
vinyl.
A single.
Yeah. So who are you going to go through for that?
We're not sure yet. My friend has volunteered to do the label part of it.
Okay.
He's going to be starting a label of his own. He's got a logo. He just needs the part where he actually has music
great.
To put out on it. Yeah, and then he's got some... But he's not even... I don't think he even knows exactly what he wants
it's
to
so
do for
cool
the production.
To see that all these new artists are going to vinyl. It's incredible that it happened, because I was like selling in the 90s when everybody thought it was like over.
Right.
Like I was selling on eBay, and it was so funny. On eBay, you'd take a picture, and then you'd load it to another site, and then you'd be like, it would like take you, it seemed like forever to do one listing.
Right.
Computers aren't they weren't what they are now, you know?
Yeah, they ran a lot slower, and I'm sure eBay now also has a lot of that stuff. You know, because I use, like, Flickr or, geez, what else?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
any web development tool, like, when I compare how difficult it was 10 years ago to how it is now, like, they know their users
back
better.
And my computer was slow back then to begin with, and I probably wasn't up at the time, so. But,
right.
But back in, like, 94, 95, it's like, what were the times back then, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you still list stuff now, then? Is that, like, part of
I do
track
some eBay,
online?
But I actually dropped off a lot of it. I don't do it very much anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, eBay's very hard to...
Yeah, between the shipping and the fees, it gets really cumbersome. I've tried selling lots of stuff through that.
Discogs is the way to go now. I hear that from a lot of guys. Discogs, and we're going to be switching over to that. And then Amazon is phenomenal. I love Amazon.
Well, hell yeah.
Yeah. You can get
anything delivered to your house in 2 days.
I hate to say it, but you can get a record in 2 days with them guys.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Or
I love the two-day thing.
Or you can come to Rick's Record Shack, and you can get it day of.
Thank
that
you.
Is 1 day faster than Amazon.
That was a good lead-up to that. That's so cool. And I didn't know he was going to say it either.
Why do you think, I mean, vinyl's making a comeback. Do you think it's the quality? Do you think it's kind of the retro feel? Like, why, do you have any opinions on why you think
you
it's
know
kind
what?
Of making that comeback?
You know what? The artwork is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's big. You can hold it in your hand. The other thing is that the sound from it, you're getting frequencies on vinyl that you don't get on other formats.
Yeah.
So it's just incredible.
Have you ever heard Neil Young, not to get away from vinyl too much, but have you ever heard Neil Young's, Pono? I love Neil Young, but have you ever heard his musical platform that he was trying to introduce? It was a super hi-fi.
Oh.
He's been doing this for like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, I do remember that from way back.
It was a slightly different, it was like, well, it was a completely different platform.
In fact, somebody else,
and it had its own distribution.
Somebody else came to the store was talking about.
Well, I still haven't met anybody who's actually, like, heard the thing yet. I'm curious to see if it lives up.
It was a CD, but it was in a different, it was a little bit different, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was a super high quality
hi-fi.
SACD
or something. I think it was SACD, maybe.
I just know that it was very high fidelity, and it was supposed to, compete with even vinyl.
And they do have units that take the CD and kind of make it sound more analog, because I have one over there.
Interesting.
Yeah, my sound guy was telling me all about them, like, it's like all Greek to me, but I'm learning, you know?
And, one of the things with vinyl, too, like, there's so much streaming and everything around today. Like, you can turn on Spotify. You can so easily get, like, anything. And that's great. But I've actually recently got back into vinyl a little bit, too. Just a couple, like, choice albums. And, like, my experience with it, like, everything we've been talking about, you know, like, definitely the artwork is beautiful to look at. You can hold it in your hand. It's something tangible.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's also nice to sit and spend time and think about a specific song. That's almost a luxury now, is like having time to sit
just
read the lyrics.
Just playing a whole side of a record.
Yeah.
And
it
the songs
time.
That are
you
in between the ones you don't hear on the radio.
Right, right.
They play I always talk about this, Jimi Hendrix.
You get the deeper
three
cuts.
Three songs on the radio. I mean, it's like there's three songs. Well, Jimi Hendrix has a lot more than three songs that they play on the radio.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Some of his albums are just incredible, like a lot of artists are like that, but Jimi Hendrix in particular.
Yeah.
Incredible, the stuff. And he was only recording for like 4 to 6 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Amazing, the bands back then.
Right, but you don't get that on even 97 Rock.
Yeah.
You won't hear that, but if you get the vinyl, you can hear every last minute of it.
I was listening to War Heroes the other day. Wow, what an album. That's a great album.
Nice. Yeah, I love when you can rediscover that. And like I said, it's almost like you have to commit a little bit to vinyl when you put it on. At least, like, I have to babysit the thing. I know it's got to be flipped in a couple minutes.
Yeah, you're not
putting
it in your pocket with you and moving around. Like, you have to, you're kind of staying there.
Now, wouldn't it be great if they had a turntable for the vehicle? I mean...
Yeah, John Lennon had one, apparently.
Yeah,
in the 60s.
Elvis did too. Elvis had one in his limo. It was like
I think for
spaghetti.
When you're at the very top of the income bracket.
Yeah, it must
bracket,
have not skipped
you can...
either, you know? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you would think they figured out how to combat that.
You know what's going to... My prediction is there'll be... Something's going to come along that's more analog.
CDs?
Sound, yeah, CDs. It's coming. They're going to come out with a new format. But that's my prediction.
Okay. So, well, we'll check back in 1 year and see...
It's coming.
And see what happened.
They're already phasing out CDs.
Oh, yeah.
I think Target said they're going to stop taking in CDs by July, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Target and Best Buy, I think, are both bailing on CDs now.
Yeah, but vinyl will always be around.
Yeah.
Now we have old guys fixing their making new collections. We got a new generation.
Yeah.
Of people just like building collections. It's really cool to see. You see fathers and sons together.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a baseball game where they hang out. Mm-hmm. Here they're like fathers are introducing their sons to new music to them. You know, it's awesome stuff.
Right, right. It becomes.
I've been here with my mom, so I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes something that they can share as like a family moment.
Yeah, that's right. You did bring it up.
Yeah, that's first time I was here.
Yeah, what did mom buy when she was here?
It was my birthday, so she's like that Rick's Record Shack's open. Do you want to go there and see if you can find anything?
And I got bringing families together.
Yeah, and I got a.
I love seeing that.
I got a copy of Frank Zappa's Overnight Sensation.
Oh, how was it?
I haven't gotten a chance to listen to it yet, but it's one of my favorite Zappa albums. I've listened to that straight through many times, so I'm excited.
Have you listened to analog and vinyl yet?
No, I haven't.
See, it's gonna be a new experience now.
Yeah, no, it's I haven't had a record player in like 10 or 15 years, so I have access to one now. So yeah. I plan on going through everything I have, the whole collection, and just hearing it a little differently.
Nice. What do you have? Your parents' record player you're playing on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someday.
Well, Rick's has some, too.
Rick's
that's
has
awesome.
Some nice ones. I actually almost left with a record player the first time I was here.
Yeah.
We'll hook you up.
Excellent.
We'll get you hooked up.
Yeah, there's speakers, there's record players. I even saw some musical equipment, like a bass amp here. So it's not just records. There's T-shirts, too. I just want to kind of stress that
yeah.
You know, it's
you never
it's
guessed
a lot
where
cool
those
stuff.
Speakers came from. A local hero, legend, I should say, is Danny Neverett from WKBW.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Rick is pointing out some wooden speakers at the front of the shop.
They do look really nice.
Yeah, they're the old Radio Shack speaker. Oh, they're awesome. I love Radio Shack. They made a great product back then. They're all made by the same people who are like Pioneer involved.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff is made in Japan. It's cool.
So Danny Neverett owned those speakers?
Yes.
Are
Danny
they autographed?
Neverett,
is there any documentation?
You know what? I need to get them autographed. That's a good idea.
Certificate of authenticity, at
least.
Yeah. You should see the records I'm getting from them. Cool stuff. Really cool stuff.
Oh, great.
So I saw from Facebook you are a Frontier graduate.
Yeah.
Are you a Buffalo lifer? Have you always been here?
Yes. Been in Buffalo all my life. I lived in Lakeview. Grew up. Went to Frontier. Great school. Used to skip out to Hamburg Central. Probably shouldn't say that. But I guess the statute of limitations gone now, so I can't get in trouble.
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah, we're it's not going to go on your permanent record.
Okay. Yeah, well, I used to skip out almost every day. I'll admit it. And go to Hamburg Central. I had all their passes and everything.
Oh, yeah. Plus,
their lunches library.
Very few truancy discipline officers listen to this show. It's like 6%.
Oh, okay. So. Well, you know, it's a good thing you did the statistics on that. No?
Yeah, of
I feel
course.
Better.
Scott Leffler runs.
Sleep.
Yeah, he runs a tight shift.
Yeah, his demo
I can sleep
reports
at
are
night
top
now.
Notch.
Okay.
When you stock your store, how much of your personal taste goes into what you put on the shelves?
You know what? A lot of it, I do have a heart for certain things, and believe it or not, I like pretty much everything. And my taste keeps on getting bigger and bigger the more I listen to things. I've been even getting into Miles Davis lately. Great album is Bitches Brew.
Yeah. I love that. As soon as you said Miles Davis, Bitches Brew, I listened to
that
in college.
Great album. I mean, it has jazz with a groove going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How can you beat that?
Right. So. I love the Steeman with the Miles Davis quintet and all that stuff too.
Like, good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole cycle of albums.
So
there. Like
you know what?
Working.
A lot of times I'll have somebody will come in and they're like, "You need to have more hardcore." So I start researching it. So I'm getting into the hardcore stuff, and you got to get into a little bit of everything, you know?
Right.
It's fun stuff.
Got into the opera yet?
You know what? I have a little bit.
I was going to say, I bet you can find some here.
Yeah, it's here. It's here.
So I have two stupid questions. We've heard from people we've interviewed that releasing albums on cassette is still a viable thing. First stupid question, is there any chance the 8-track format is coming back, like tape and vinyl?
You know what? I've had a few people asking about 8-tracks. In fact, I got some coming out. I got some down in the storage.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
In the vaults. Yeah. We're bringing out. And one guy wanted an 8-track player, which I have one downstairs also. So the vaults are downstairs now, you know.
All right. Yeah. And where's your MP3 section?
MP3 section? What are you talking about?
So what is your favorite record in the shop here?
Wow.
I know. This has to be a tough one, right?
You know what? I love Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Tom Petty is one of my favorites.
Great.
Yeah, I really love Tom Petty. In fact, I actually bought him brand new on vinyl for myself. I'm like, double album, greatest hits.
Actually, I bought that the first time I came in here.
And you bought it too.
I bought it as a gift for
not often I buy a brand new record, and I bought that.
Yeah, no, you can't think of a single Tom Petty song you can really.
And now, I mean, they sound great. new vinyl has come along. I think the record company's finally caught up and realized, hey, we gotta do this the right way.
Yeah. Do you find that the newer made vinyl actually sounds better than the older stuff?
You know what I did? I did a test. Mm-hmm. I had somebody brought in 180 gram that they opened up and decided they wanted to bring to me and sell. So I bought it, and I found a Revolver in stock, an analog copy from back in 65, whatever it is. So I've played them side by side.
Oh, wow.
Now, the original version actually was a little better, I gotta admit. But I played them side by side. But it wasn't that much. I mean, you would have had to listen to them side by side. It was a little more fuller on the original.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it was definitely comparable, the
new vinyl. Yeah, it was comparable. So I've been hearing that from a lot of sound guys. Soundophiles, I guess you would call them.
Mm-hmm. So. Or audiophiles.
Audiophiles, yeah. There we go.
So when it comes to opening a record store, what kind of things do you have to do that you, would surprise you or, that you didn't expect? Like, I opened a record store, I didn't think I'd have to do this.
Well, you know what? First of all, I bought the building because I was doing eBay for years, and I had a place in Angola, and I bought the building. I didn't know Record Theater was going out of business when I bought it.
Oh, wow.
So that was actually a big, big plus. I knew Lenny Silvers. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And very instrumental in the, I go off on a tangent here, but Lenny Silver was actually very instrumental in our local scene. Behind Talus, and he owned Transcontinental Records and Amherst Records. And I knew him when I was playing out. Good guy. Mm-hmm. So he really created an empire, and I don't think people realize how big that empire was. I really went off on a tangent there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but I had to talk about Lenny.
Buffalo music, and that's great.
Yeah, but what an instrumental part of the Western New York music scene. In fact, we need to do that a part of that on that wall in there. Mm-hmm. Something about him.
Definitely finding more and more.
But these racks are from him.
It's great.
Oh, okay, what was the original question?
Oh, yeah, what things happened as you were starting the store that people didn't expect? Yeah, what surprises were there?
You know what? It never ceases to amaze me, the young people coming in asking for, artists that you would never suspect. I had a girl asking for Bing Crosby. She was, 13.
Oh, wow.
I had a lot of people asking for Ella Fitzgerald.
Wow.
So it's just... It's amazing the musical knowledge with our youth and with our young people.
Yeah, and kids today have the internet too. And when they're 10, you know, when I was 10, I didn't have any internet. All I had was the Bee Gees albums and the Grand Funk Railroad that was in my dad's closet. That was the only way I could discover, which was cool, and Zappa, you know.
Yeah, I discovered that's that where stuff I discovered from there. It from too.
Yeah. But you know what? But these guys have the internet and they can just go
and
anywhere.
You know what? The internet was responsible for bringing vinyl in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because when you're listening to an MP3 on a headphone or from a computer, it sounds so tinny. And then you hear the contrast. You put a vinyl record on, the contrast is 100 times, especially with the computer.
Sure.
So I really think that was instrumental. And the internet was responsible for bringing back vinyl. And then movies. Every movie.
The internet's done something right.
Yeah. And then movies actually brought it back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot, Guardians of the Galaxy, for instance. Wow. They brought back a lot of that 70s stuff.
Yeah.
Very hot-selling album.
Yeah, those mixtapes. They call them the Guardians of the Galaxy
mixtapes. And
that
brought back cassettes.
Yeah? Oh, there you go. I've seen the last two of them. They top the charts, the soundtrack charts, for weeks. And it's so all cool. Just mixes of 70s and 80s stuff. And it's,
I had no idea about that.
Very well curated. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the movies. Yeah. The first one.
You need to see it, too. Yeah. It's a cool movie.
I haven't seen the second one yet, but, Star-Lord, who's, Chris Pratt, the main character, mm-hmm. before he does certain things, he, pops into the set of cassette of, 70s and 80s music. And
amazing.
They're mixtapes.
Yeah, they're mixtapes.
I had a girl looking for mixtapes. She wanted just, old mixtapes from the 70s, 80s. Because I used to make them when I was a kid.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah. I still make mix CDs for people.
Yeah.
Even now, I'm making curated Spotify playlists for the podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Any way I can put music together.
So now it's instead of giving my mixtapes a good one, I keep them around. Yeah, for a buck.
Yeah, might have somebody come in and actually pick one up.
Yeah.
So what are your biggest sellers here in the store?
Biggest sellers are always Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead. Those are top three. A lot of that stuff David Bowie, Lou Reed's. Punk is incredibly popular. And it's you can't find it on original vinyl. It's very hard to find. So I try to keep a lot of repressions.
They were all smashed over somebody's head in a drunken
Yeah, maybe
brawl.
That's what it is. That's what it was. And I thought it was the Who of Birmingham. No.
So that's the stuff that flies off the shelf pretty reliably. And do you have new stock of most of those, or is that used stock that people
I keep a lot of punk on new stock. I do keep Pink Floyd regularly. It goes quick. A lot of the punk stuff, when I get it in on original, it's like, it goes really quick. They, like, sniff it out. Like, they find it.
Yeah, you bring it in, all of a sudden there's three guys at the door.
It's amazing.
Outside the glass.
I don't know, like radar or something.
Punk's coming in through the window.
Yeah.
So you are the former host of Channel 7's Buffalo Night Out TV. What was that like? And, like, what was there a certain kind of local music you were covering? Was it just originals?
It was all different types. Black Rock Zydeco was one of my favorites.
Love those guys, yeah.
Yeah, and then their spinoffs. So I always, I can't think
the
of
the Folk Faces.
Folk Faces,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, they're awesome.
I've heard Folk Faces actually,
yeah,
incredible. A lot of them guys are involved all in that, and it's that's like very memorable for me.
Yeah, the Folk Faces played at our mutual friend Dave's wedding.
Oh,
actually,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
They hired them.
Wow, very talented. We have such a great music scene. It's very diverse and.
Yeah, so you had them on a lot. And what was the format of the television show? Was it like a half hour?
It was a half hour show. It was on Channel 7 late night Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatnik guys were on Friday nights.
Yeah,
those guys were awesome on their couches, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. How did it smell funny in that studio? You can be honest.
Believe it or not, we were a moving show. We would we did Central Park. Yeah, but if I was at their studio, I probably did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's funny. We did Central Park Girl every week, and we were doing the Evening Star for a while. And then we would actually mix everything down like an album. And Doug Caskey was involved, Larry Saunders, got to give them guys credit. And we were up all hours mixing it down like an album every week and editing. And for three guys, it was quite a project. So we had to take a break. Almost had that huge sponsor. We were very close getting a beer sponsor.
Oh, wow.
But
and is that the key to keeping something like that
on
the air?
You know what, you have to, because you need to get help.
Well, let me understand the broadcast model. So this isn't public access. This is Channel 7.
Yeah, which Channel 7.
So what happened? So you have to like, pay them?
We had sponsors paying for the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these bars actually sponsored us. But it's like a lot of bars aren't for the local music scene. They say they are. But they really should get behind stuff like that. I mean, we have such a great scene. We really do. And then it dies here. I mean.
Yeah, no, one of the things I talked about in some earlier episodes is I like to go out and review concerts, and I don't have a lot of money, so I can't pay to get into all these. I don't get paid for my reviews. And I've approached companies like ESI, and I'm like, hey, this is coming to town. I'd love to review it. I'd love to talk about the club thing. Maybe more people come next time. No responses from these people. Like, I get so much negative stuff coming back when I ask for this stuff that you wonder, like...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and one of the great myths of being in a local band is the you're going to get exposure.
Oh, I know.
And then
paid in exposure.
So, and you know, if that's a thing that fans are expecting, and then you're not letting people
we
come
need
in
to
review the concert...
We need to take care of our local bands. I mean, otherwise you die here. I mean, it ends up being a hobby. Because you can't expect to make a living on it unless you go on tour. Or I know guys that are, and it's a lot of work.
Got
fans breaking down, and I hear a lot of stories. David Miller is a good. I don't know if you guys know who David Miller is. He's a great local artist. Blues. Oh, he's incredible. And then Mick Hayes. Mick Hayes is another one.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mick Hayes.
Didn't Ken from Outer Limit mention him?
I think he may have.
I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah,
as a guy that would be great to talk to.
You guys really need to. I mean, we'll have him at the store at some point.
Yeah.
He's got a great album coming out.
Oh, cool! I will check him out. So anything coming up with the television show? Are you going to try to get?
We'll get it coming back. We will. It's just I got to get this thing just totally exactly where I want it.
Yeah, you kind of got a lot of irons in the fire here.
Yeah. So, but there's another part to this. There's a roof caved in. So when I get that fixed, it's a little narrow, but. It goes across the whole building, so.
Oh, wow.
So maybe I'll put a stage or something in there.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking for any additional hosts, I know a person
or two. Yeah, who knows,
may have a little experience.
Sure.
That's cool. Yeah, we definitely got to do it right this time. It's just a lot of work, and you get burned out. You know, it's like you got a wife too, and you got to make money, you got to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So, I give you a lot of credit. It's just, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun.
And I had fun. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it is nice to shine a light on some of the people and bands that are working so hard all the time. And
the other
thing
is, I wanted to pay bands to perform for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I was trying.
Paying bands, I have no idea what you mean.
Yeah, because I was going to start up a nonprofit called SLAM, Supporting Local Artists and Music.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to call it like SLAM Festival, have a SLAM Festival and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And but I wanted to get funds like from the government and stuff. That would have been the goal, is to get all funds so you could actually. Because they need to make a living, these guys.
Yeah, and there are, local arts.
And I don't like the exposure thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like you said.
It's the big, great myth of why you should play for free and have everyone else make the money.
Yeah, it's hard to pay the light bill with exposure.
Yeah, I give these artists a lot. I give Mick Hayes a lot of credit, man. That guy's been around for a long time.
And he found a way to make it work.
Even same with Stevie Wonder, he had on stage with him one time. Yeah. Side by side. I mean, there's a video on. You can check it out. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
So.
I'm going to make a note of that. Post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
So your Facebook page says you're also a musician. What bands have you played in? Are you still playing now?
I did a thing. It was like a 50s kind of thing. I do like a Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, Elvis kind of thing. I write old songs. And believe it or not, I was like 15 years old. I was on the weather with Tom Joles and hit the front page of local news. We did a video at the Trelf. It was pretty good. It was fun back then, but yeah. I want a different avenue because it's just.
What do you mean you write old songs?
I write songs that sound like old.
Like 50s throwback.
Like 50s throwback.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
great.
So I'm coming out with an album. That's another thing.
Okay.
Oh.
But with stand-up.
An exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with the stand-up bass.
I'm gonna have it true to that period, which I didn't do before. And it just was never. It was meant, the music was written for a different period of time, and I always got musicians that were from another period, like Led Zeppelin people, you know what I mean, or stuff like that. Which I love Led Zeppelin, but it just doesn't fit my.
Yeah, you're sporting a Led Zeppelin t-shirt.
Oh yeah, look at this. Yeah, it's funny. I forgot I had that on.
So, who else is involved in the oldies, the pseudo new oldies project? Not pseudo, neo oldies. We'll call them.
In fact, this isn't official yet, so I probably shouldn't even talk about it, but Pete Jamestown, I don't know if he's from the Southern Tier, but I think he's going to end up producing it, and they play all those instruments and everything, which would be cool.
Oh, great.
So they could do it to that time period. So it's still coming.
Cool. So you're in talks. Nothing's in concrete.
Yeah. It will happen.
Oh, great. Well, looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. I want to get one in a movie. That's the goal.
You want to get one in a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, in a movie, yeah.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Have you ever worked with any of that, like, taxi artisan repertoire sort of services?
Oh, yeah,
placing music and television
You know
shows?
What a friend of mine does, and he's actually raved about that. He's had a lot of success in it.
Does he use the taxi music specific, or the service?
Yeah, he has. He did. I mean, we're talking, I don't know, several years ago.
Okay.
But, yeah, he was at the time, but he's had stuff local, like Nashville artists have produced, and this is good stuff.
Well, let's play a game.
Yes, let's. So,
I like
it's called Real Not Real. So, we've got a few different rounds, and basically I'm going to give you a fact or a statement or a lyric, and you guys have to tell me if it's true or false. So, for each round, I've got four for each of you, so you'll be answering separately because we don't have buzzers.
Okay.
All right. So, cue the music.
Quick editor's note here, guys. The theme of round one is, are these Red Hot Chili Peppers lyrics or not?
All right, the first category. So these are all inspired by things that I've seen here in Rick's Record Shack. All right, Rick.
I'm bad with lyrics. I
real
really am.
Or not
so
real.
So is Anthony Kiedis.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Rick. Little Piccadilly Sickness, take me to the hick, eat my thickness, I've got a welt. Real or not real?
Real.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is from The Power of Equality.
Well, I'm sorry. Was Eat My Thickness one? Is that what?
Yeah, Eat My Thickness was in
okay,
there.
Okay, just checking.
All right,
and
Dennis.
Opinion on Chili Peppers reaffirmed.
Dennis, she's got hoops and loops and a case of the moops. A zing, a dang, a donga. Oop. Watch it, spring has sprung a. Real or not real?
Just because I believe in the balance of the cosmos, I'm going to say the opposite and not real.
You are correct.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Cosmos.
I might use that later. All right.
You need to put that. That needs to be in some lyrics. Thank you, Cosmos.
We'll use that drop.
All right. Okay. Rick. Do, 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 do. Dingle, zing, a dong bone. Bida, bada, bazumba, krunga, kong gone bad. Real or not real?
Anthony Kiedis lyric. Is it an Anthony Kiedis lyric or not? We use lyric
loosely. Is it exactly like that? I'm trying to think. I think there's a little different, isn't it? Oh, I'll say true.
You are true. That is actually my favorite Red Hot Chili Pepper song, Sold Squeeze.
See, I thought that was Roadhouse Blues from The Doors, actually.
At first, I thought it was like the Police.
Yeah.
All right, Dennis. A dingle bang dungle, boo foo too, let me tell you about a dog named Sue. Real or not real?
I can't believe that he's cheesy enough to talk about a dog named Sue. It's got to be not real.
You're correct.
Oh, goodness. We're knotted up here.
Yeah, we tied it too. All right, Rick. Ain't it fun with my stun gun? Bugaloo, hullabaloo, don't forget to run. Real or not real?
You know what? I've been saying real all this time. Now we're going to say not real.
You are correct.
Woohoo!
Dennis? Ding dang.
I'm sorry, is this game over yet? Is this still the same?
There's eight total, so we got three left.
Eight total. Of all Anthony Kiedis?
Yes.
Holy.
I told you, it's going to be a little. We're moving through this.
Wow, all right.
You're impatient.
Well, no, but there's nothing to hold on. I mean, this is just like flipping a coin at this point. But all right, please continue.
Ding dang, dong dong, dang dang, dong dong, ding dang.
Well, there's undeniable artistry in that. The question is the artistry yours or Anthony Kiedis's? I'm going to say that that is your artistry.
You are incorrect.
Hey,
that is from Around the World.
Thank you.
All right, Rick. Bwee-doo, bwee-doo, that's how we do. Feeling the chunk-a-lunk, bringing the funk-a-funk. Real or not real?
Was that Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yes, Anthony Kiedis.
Yep. These all are, huh?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I forgot. You know what? That sounds like it would be. You know what's hard without the music? Okay, let's see. I'm going to say...
Almost insufferable without the music.
Yeah, I'm going to say true.
That is false. That was me.
Yes.
Wow, that was good. It reminded me of a...
Yeah, nice job, Ryan.
That was really good.
You could have a few.
Thank
you should
you,
be writing
you.
Our lyrics. What the hell am I doing?
I'll send Anthony and Chad Smith a message. All right, last one. Dennis. I've got a mellowship. I've got a fellowship. I've got a nonstop Yo Swan Hello Chip.
What the fuck? Well, we know he does have a Hello Chip. We know that much about Anthony Kiedis.
Clearly.
I'm going to say that it is not real.
It is real.
Oh, okay.
From the song Mellow Ship Slinky in B Major.
Oh, okay.
Wow. All right. So after round one, Rick is ahead 3-2. All right. So next round, I saw the first Gorillaz album.
Oh.
I know Dennis loves Gorillaz.
Yeah, I do too.
I do love Gorillaz.
It's involved with Blur. It's Damon Albarn. So yeah, I know you love it. Great album. Who doesn't love Gorillaz?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend look like a gorilla once.
So you love Gorillaz, yeah.
In honor of Gorillaz, I'm doing Real Not Real, Animated Bands is the new round.
Okay.
She only shaved her chin, you know?
Must have been Italian.
Yeah. Why don't I like those Italians?
All right. We'll start with Dennis this time. The Chipmunk song, Christmas Don't Be Late, by Alvin and the Chipmunks, won 3 Grammys. Real or not real?
I'm going to say, I know that they had some success. I remember seeing the albums about when I was young, but what was the exact winnings?
They won 3 Grammys.
3 Grammys. Well, there's a lot of fucking Grammys. So I'm going to say that that's true.
You are correct.
I would have said that, too. Yep.
All right. Let's see here.
All right, give her
now,
a hard one.
Now, who was behind them? Do you guys know? See, I don't know. I'm asking a question.
No, oh, that's cool.
Who was behind them? What was the?
It was a producer. I forget what his original name was, but his stage name was David Seville.
There we go.
Which is actually the name of the character in the cartoon.
Right, right. It's supposed to be Dave. Yeah. Dave, so. Yeah.
Liberty Records.
Yeah. All right. The Archie.
No bonus points for that. Don't be trying to.
I'm trying to get all I can.
All right.
I have a feeling about this one.
Okay. Rick, the Archies are the only fictional band to ever top Billboard's year-end chart, as "Sugar Sugar" was the top-selling song in 1969 in America.
Can you repeat that question?
Sure. The Archies are the only fictional band to ever top Billboard's year-end pop chart, as "Sugar Sugar" was the top-selling song in America in 1969.
The top-selling album all year?
Yep.
In 67?
69.
69. I would think the Beatles would have been. "Sugar Sugar" was a big hit. It was very poppy, so you never know. Wow.
I'm keeping a poker face.
But I don't remember "Sugar Sugar" being on the top of the charts for the whole year. Okay, I'm going to say false.
Incorrect. It was the top-selling song of 1969.
Really, was?
Yeah.
Wow. Like the top-selling, like, single?
The top-selling year-end pop chart. So I don't know what was excluded in a pop chart compared to other stuff. But.
Oh, I stole it. Boy, that's something. Beatles had some pop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
That's amazing.
Okay. The four members of Gorillaz, 2D, Murdoch Nichols, Noodle, and Russell Hobbs are all based off of contributing musicians from their self-titled album.
Darn, you know, I do like their music. I'm not that well schooled on the lore, so I'm just going to have to guess that that's true.
You are wrong. They were all just made-up random things from Damon Albarn.
Okay. I could have. Yeah, he's tricky. He's tricky. Tricksy.
I am tricky.
Oh, so you got me on that last one.
All right. The first fictional band used to try and sell products was The Cows, a group of four country musicians from Iowa. Their Hoedown Ready first single, "Better for You," was the first single off their soul LP. True or false?
The Cows. Why don't I even remember The Cows? Do you remember The Cows?
I cannot say anything.
Speaking of ex-girlfriend, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say true.
That is false.
I knew it.
I completely made up The Cows.
I knew he was making up The
you
Cows.
You know what? I should have went with my first. Yeah. I always say go with your first.
There was a band created in like 1958 which sold Sugar Smacks. And they actually had like a Neil Sedaka penned single that made it to the radio, and they would have been the first one. All right.
Neil Sedaka.
All right. The Simpsons creator Matt Groening stated during an appearance at the 1998 World Animation Celebration that the Simpsons single, because they released an album, they had a song called "Do the Bartman," and it was actually co-written and co-produced by Michael Jackson, but he could not receive credit for it because he was under contract to another label.
Hmm. What do we know? What year this came out?
The single was 1990.
I'm going to say that's true.
That is absolutely true.
Wow. I'm surprised it's true because I didn't really know it, but interesting.
Have you
ever
heard the song? It's terrible.
No.
It's.
I know Michael Jackson worked with other people.
I remember it vaguely.
Yeah.
That is like one of the worst 10 music videos you're ever going to see in your life.
The Bartman.
That'll be in the show notes.
Yes.
Got to put that one in there.
All right. Trick. In the hyper-violent realm of Adult Swim, Metalocalypse, death metal quintet Deathlok aren't just the world's most popular band, they're also the most important cultural figures in the seventh largest economy on the planet. In our world, they're actually a diverse group of music teachers from the San Francisco area. True or false?
Wow, now I realize how much I really don't know. Mostly true.
That was false.
I'm lost this one.
I'm going to get a coin to flip, actually.
They are actually a bunch of metal musicians, and they've actually, and it's just a fictional band, but they've actually played a couple shows over on the West Coast.
Right.
And apparently, I've never seen Metalocalypse, but apparently it's super popular and people really love it.
Huh.
Check it out. It's about a metal band. If you like music. All right.
Oh, yeah. I think that's on my list of things to see. Is that on Amazon right now?
Yeah, I bet it is.
I think it is. I think because I'm doing that list of things that like you add it to your list, you make sure you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy.
You might
like
it. Too
bad I didn't watch it yet.
See? Some incentive to finish that list,
yeah.
By the way.
Yep.
All right, Dennis, last one for the round.
Yes.
Pusher Jones is a virtual band created by Velvet Revolver guitarist David Kushner, The Simpsons creative director Dave Warren. The real-life musicians in the modern rock outfit include Weezer bassist Scott Schreiner and Queens of the Stone Age drummer Joey Castillo. The fictional band had a song on the Avengers soundtrack. That was a little long.
True.
That is true.
All right. There you go. I think you won it.
And Rick, last one for the round.
What, do I have a chance of winning it here?
No.
But still, there's one more round after this.
Okay.
All is not lost.
Okay.
All right. This is the bio from the band Prozac, spelled P-R-O-Z-Z-A with two little dots on it, K. Simon and Milo are over 200 years old and were enemies in the previous life. Sam and Milo fought each other in a 20-year-old war called Achiyaki. During their battles with each other, a great unseen voice projected down from the sky and told them they were to be best friends, sent through time to the 21st century, where they were given a mission. That mission was for the two to find true love through their music.
Sure.
Yes.
Yep.
They are Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you actually heard of Prozac?
Believe it or not, I have.
Oh, wow. I saw it and literally thought
you
they were
what?
Trying to sell Prozac at first.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about them, but... I know.
Yeah.
That story is so it sounds like like something like a 12-year-old playing D&D is going to come up with. All right. And now
okay, well that was two rounds.
That was two rounds. We got one round
real
left.
Not real. Rick's Record Shack edition.
Rick, do you have Nirvana's Nevermind here?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, in honor of that album, our final round is album art nudity.
All right.
Now, there was a lot of that back then. It's amazing that a lot of them guys can go to jail for that.
Yeah,
really, like you see stuff now.
Zeppelin, like Houses of the Holy.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin. And
with all like the 12-year-old
or we became too sensitive
girls.
To it, I guess.
There's some modern stuff on this list that is interesting.
It's
and
really all
bizarre.
Art, you know? It's art.
All right, who wants to go first?
That's what I said.
Look what they did in the churches, you know?
I'll go first.
All right, Dennis goes first. He's at his 5-4 lead going into the final round here.
All right.
All right. On the cover of Beck's debut album, Mellow Gold, there is a robot. Look closely enough, and this robot has genitals.
I think if you look closely enough, any robot has genitals. So I'm going to say true.
That is absolutely true. I only know that because I bought the CD off of someone in junior high, and he actually put like a sticker over it because he thought it was dirty. All right. Rick.
Uh-oh.
The naked woman emerging from a cake on the cover of Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass's Whipped Cream and Other Delights was actually 3 months pregnant at the time the photo was taken. True or false?
Maybe that's why she had the whipped cream all over. Did you know you could do a whole wall on that? I probably could. I probably could make a whole wall of that album.
And then immediately hang a curtain up over it.
Yeah, because I got enough of them from
every
collection.
People.
You can have like a back section for
like
that.
Like a peep show.
Yeah. The video stores used to have.
You know what? I'm going to say true.
It is true.
All right.
She looks very good for 3 months.
Because it kind of makes sense. And that does sound a little vaguely familiar for some reason.
All right, Dennis. The cover for Shakira's 2005 album, Oral Fixation, Volume 2, features her dressed in Adam and Eve garb while a baby in a tree reaches for an apple that is in her hand.
It sounds like a charming tableau, so I'm going to say true.
It is true.
Yeah.
I could not believe
it.
That.
That's nice art direction there.
All right. Okay, so we had three trues. This next one's going to be a false. Oh, he's going to switch questions.
Yeah, look at him.
I don't have them in any order. I'm just kind of picking willy-nilly.
Oh, so now it doesn't work.
Don't try to outsmart the mastermind. You just have to go with the flow.
So now I got to go with the truer because...
Right, because he countered, but he could be
counter.
Doing a double
but
doodle.
But now because I
he
said
could be
he's
doing a
countering
double doodle.
Now that he said he's countering, now he's going to go to a false question.
I say you just flip a coin. That's what I've been doing.
So now I got to go back to the truer.
Let's see.
Oh, wait. I just saw it in his eyes, and now he's going to get a false question.
Then it's just start bringing someone to, like, read my face so we can get more right.
An assistant.
All right, the intended artwork for the UK version of Jimi Hendrix's Electric Ladyland did not arrive in time to press the album, so a cover of naked women lounging in front of a black background was issued in its place.
Well, I know that it happened. Wait, can you repeat that question one more time? Because I want to make sure I'm getting all the facts here. All
right. Mm-hmm. The intended artwork did not arrive in time to press the album, so instead, the cover with the naked ladies was chosen.
Okay, so the question is whether he arrived in time. And I can't remember. You know, I don't have to say true.
That is correct. I wonder what the original album artwork would have looked
like. Yeah, it's peculiar.
And then they had to get rid of it, too, didn't they? Yeah. And they had to ban it.
I believe I read that there are approximately 29 women in that photo.
Wow.
I can't verify.
Yeah, you counted it. You know you
did. I counted each booty.
This next one better be about Smell the Glove.
Smell the Glove?
Yeah, the Spinal Tap. Album where they had like a woman in chains, like on all fours.
I'm not as well versed in my Spinal Tap as I need to be. That will be changing soon.
And they're
going to watch it again.
They ended up not able to use that cover because the record company said it was sexist. And Nigel looked at it and said, "What's wrong with being sexy?"
All right. On the cover for the single for Nicki Minaj's Anaconda, her ass takes up 25% of the space.
Oh, okay.
So if you're looking at
the full
album
cover,
Nicki Minaj's butt would take up at least 25%. True or false?
So you got to look at that Misfits album.
I've only got this on iTunes.
That'd be bigger than that skull.
Nicki Minaj. I'm gonna say that is 25%. Boy, that's pretty big. That's a sizable.
But
Nicki Minaj, she does. But it's all about where you put the camera. You know, the composition.
She might object to that.
I'm gonna say false.
Correct.
Right.
There is an album with her big ass on
right.
it, but it's probably closer to 5 to 10%.
Probably closer to 22%. I probably should have talked you into that one.
No, all right. So what's our score at here? All right.
All right. Prize, please.
Oh, we're almost
prize,
there.
Prize, please.
John Lennon described the picture of him and Yoko Ono on 1968's Two Virgins as two slightly overweight ex-junkies.
I'd say false.
You are incorrect.
Ooh.
All right.
See, I can see Lennon calling himself. I don't remember the overweight part either, actually, but the fact of him.
Slightly overweight.
I thought they made some kind of remark that was kind of out there, but I didn't think it was that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Cool. What are you going to do?
Some cool trivia.
All right. Last question for each of you. Each have one now. Dennis, the naked baby featured on the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind, was a child actor who later went on to act in numerous small roles on Nickelodeon and MTV. True or false?
False.
Correct.
Because I saw some like Behind the Music or something where they had.
So what do you do?
Where is the baby now? You know.
Oh man, I'm trying to. Entertainment Weekly actually did something about it recently. I think he's just some dude. I think he might work in like computers.
Yeah.
Stuff.
You didn't expect me to ask you that, did you?
You know, I was actually
trying to catch up.
I was going to include it on here, so in case it happened, I could, but I didn't.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. All right.
I got him.
Rick, last one. The cover for Warrant's Apple Pie single was in the tradition of a Norman Rockwell painting, except for the giant speakers and a slice cut into the pie, which revealed a very spread lady part in pornographic detail.
One more time. The beginning of that I missed.
Yeah, slower.
The cover for Warrant's Apple Pie single.
Oh, Warrant. Yeah, that's right.
Looked like a Norman Rockwell painting, except it had a couple speakers, had a slice into the pie. The pie looked like what you'd expect it to look like on a disgusting album cover. True or false?
I've heard that album quite a few times. I'm trying to think. I don't even think I got one at stock now. Oh, maybe I do. Sure.
That is fake.
Oh.
It
There's a girl on there.
It does exist.
He's tricky.
The Norman Rockwell cover actually exists like that, in all of the pornographic detail, but it was a band called Mom's Apple Pie, and it was from their self-titled 1972 debut.
Oh, why did I fall for that? I know that, Rick. I could see the girl with the...
All right, Dennis.
Yes.
You have won.
Crown me.
96.
Woo! All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Your prize, and I actually think it's something you might like.
Ryan is now reaching for...
still sealed...
Whoa!
Ben Folds single.
You've got a real, actual cool prize. What a waste this is.
It's a 2005 single for the song Landed, and it has one of my personal favorite Ben Folds songs, Bitches Ain't Shit, is the B-side.
All right.
Wonderful.
Oh, well, I'd like to thank my family. This is wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah,
I will play it proudly.
I told you there'd be prizes eventually.
Well, yeah.
I can't play it. You get a frame.
I don't know if it's going to be a real prize.
I guess you could, maybe get a little razor right here.
Yeah, I can just cut it. We're looking at the single here now. Well, thank you, sir. And, Rick, you're a worthy opponent and a fierce competitor. Sorry.
I didn't stump the chump.
Well, sorry we weren't able to get you.
You
stumped the chump. Oh, yeah, that's what happened there.
Yeah, one of us was going to get stumped, though. So it was statistically inevitable.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
but, yeah, thank you for
spending some... Thanks for having us here in your great store.
Nice.
What's the... do you want to give the address and phone number, URL? Like, what you
it's
can...
3348 Lakeshore Road.
And that's is it Hamburg officially?
Yep, Hamburg.
So yeah, if you know where Mile Strip meets Route 5 right by the Ford plant, he's right around the corner from there. It's really easy to find. What's your web address or for let's say your Facebook page?
Yeah, just go to Rich Record Check.
Okay.
Yeah, and check out our show notes. We're gonna put links.
Okay.
To
yeah, put that on our page.
Awesome.
That's cool.
All right.
Anything else, Dennis?
No, that's it. Appreciate being here and you spending some time with us.
Thank you for stopping.
So on March 5th, the Dennis and I went out to Mohawk Place to see Cooper the Band with a bunch of great local bands. We decided we wanted to talk to them about their pre- and post-show rituals and whatever else popped into our heads. So continue listening, and you're going to hear us interview Cooper the Band, Paragon, Urban Planning, and Avid the Band.
Hey, I'm Will. I play drums for Cooper the Band.
I'm Phoebe. I sing and play acoustic guitar sometimes.
I'm Joe. I play guitar and... That's it.
I'm Cooper. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Matt. I play bass.
And we're all bouncing up and down because it's really cold.
It's a little cold out here.
I'm Joe. I play guitar and I'm also cold.
And I'm also cold.
A 15-degree interview.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So it's about 2 hours before you guys are going on, four-band bill. You guys are probably playing last.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any, like, pre-show rituals? Like, is there anything you always make sure you do, anything you drink or just stretching or... Like what you do backstage?
Yeah, so usually what we do is, like, before we go on stage, we'll all get together and we'll just kind of pray and just, like, focus. Like, one of the things that our goal as a band is when we go up on stage, we, you know, people feel like they've had a good time. They feel joy, hope, or love, like, just walking away from the show. And that's kind of always been our goal. And so that always helps us kind of step back, refocus, you know, remember what are we here to do. And it's not so much about, like, trying to get famous or anything like that. We just want to make connections, meet people, have a great time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So we pray for that. We huddle. We do a group hug. And someone usually, like, shouts, "Let's do this!" We're like, "Whoa!" So, like, we just, like, get it out so that we're, like, kind of chill on stage.
Another ritual we have is because half the band lives in another town, the other half lives another 2 hours away, is that Matt and Will have to be the first ones to hug.
Oh, yeah, before they hug anybody else.
Nobody can hug either of them until, like, they've hugged.
Yeah, like, if I see Will, I'm like, "Give me a hug." He's like, "I haven't hugged Matt yet."
Sorry.
Like, "Well, come
Sorry
on, can
it.
You please do it?" Because
gotta get the romance out first.
Will gives really good hugs.
If there's two people that you want to be best friends in the band, it's the drummer and the bass player.
He
was the best friend in my best man in my wedding.
The best friend in my wedding. Really cute.
They did a little fist bump just now.
So where are you guys going to next?
We're headed to New York City next.
Oh, boy.
Then Burlington, Vermont, Ottawa, Canada, and Kingston, Canada. Then we'll hit South by Southwest, Akron, Ohio, great. Cincinnati, and then Paducah, Kentucky. And then we're going to take a break for about a month or so.
Honestly, right now,
it's amazing.
It looks incredible.
I've spent
incredible.
Time up there. Yeah, it's amazing. You'll really like it out there.
I'm so excited. For sure. We also, while we were, before we loaded in, we had Deep South Tacos.
Yeah,
right across the street.
They were tasty.
Whoa,
really
so good. Will had a 3-pound burrito. He didn't eat all 3 pounds of it.
I didn't like know it was three, well, I knew it was 3 pounds, but I didn't know it was 3 pounds. You know what I mean? So I got it, and I saw it, and I was like, "I'm going to die. This is going to end me." So, and it did.
And it did. He said, "This is
so
a go."
Will has to walk off stage during the show. You'll know why.
Yeah. Stop
the yeah. run.
Our routines and in normalcy, it's you jobs and service for their merit. Few may alter this lifeless pattern, push these customs aside.
Matt Simano, I'm Joel Prue.
I'm Brian Burrows, bassist.
All right. Yep. We are Paragon.
You're in Paragon.
Yes.
You guys are very hard to Google because there's a lot of Paragons, like, yeah. Thing,
yeah,
like,
I
terminology.
You guys.
We just probably picked the wrong name.
Paragon and there's Paragon and the Paragon.
You shouldn't just give up the integrity of your name because somebody else has it. You know, yeah. Stand behind it.
So do you guys have any pre-show rituals that you do to sort of get you dialed in and ready to get up there?
We sort of, well, we just started playing in November. This is what, our fourth show?
Fourth show, yeah.
Yeah, so we meet at my house, which is our practice space in our basement, and mm-hmm. we practice the set once through. I don't know about you guys, but I like to do vocal warm-ups on the way to the show.
Oh, absolutely.
In my
I like to hit Arby's.
Oh, nice.
Arby's? I do Mighty Taco.
Anything particular at Arby's?
Just the regular beef and cheddar and fries. All and right. then I don't even
It's the regular,
fries.
Dude.
I'm so nervous.
Matt's just trying not to throw up before the show because he's so nervous. Yeah.
Are you a puker? I had like a 7 year span in my life where I threw up before like every show I played.
No, I'm not a puker. I just
he hasn't puked.
You're cautious.
Yet.
I just get real tensed up and I get all day. It'll be like that. So now I feel good and I'm talking.
When
Do you guys have any, like, pre-show rituals? Is there anything that you guys always make sure you do before you go on, like stretching, or some bands sing together? Yeah. Like, what do you do to get yourself, like, in the zone?
We hug each other. We get rosy-cheeked.
Dan's really touchy, so we just...
I do.
Actually, Cooper the Band does hug each other beforehand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just talk to them about that.
That's so nice.
Yeah, they have, like, an actual, like, moment of, like, they get together and, like, you know, commune, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We just, like, come to consciousness while we're on stage, and everyone's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's basically it.
I guess we're here.
Yeah.
That's
basically it, yeah.
Yeah. 18 is plenty old enough to see the world for how it is. A popularity contest, I know I'm never gonna win. I'm surrounded by these critics who don't think I stand a chance. Trying hard to break through, oh, I realize I can't. Feel ashamed to know I let them bring me down. Maybe one day I'll be better once I know they're not around. You may see me smiling, don't know what's going on inside. Ask me how I'm doing, I'll say okay, but that's a lie. What happened to my optimism? I used to see the world in color. Seems I've lost my suit of valor. Now I can't put up a fight. I need to face my demons. It's not as bad as it seems. It's only been 18 years. I've still got so much time to dream. To dream. I put my hours into this. I tried so hard but don't succeed. I did my time, I learned it right. Face it, you'll never get the lead. Don't know why I do it, if all I ever do is fail. Where's the first place trophy? Well, I don't see it anywhere.
My name is Lexi, I'm the singer.
I'm Cody, I'm the lead guitarist. Yeah.
And what happened to the box player?
He lives an hour away, so he had to rush out of here. He's got Walmart training in the morning, so.
Okay.
But his name is Rich, and he's awesome.
Okay.
Well, I always drink whiskey sour.
Nice,
that's my thing.
Good man.
I like my sour drinks, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I usually only drink before electric shows. These ones don't make me as nervous. So I am as sober as...
As a judge.
As a judge, oh, yes. Nice. I like that.
I like that.
We'd like to, again, thank Rick from Rick's Record Shack for coming on the podcast today.
By we mean, I guess, you and I, because Dennis isn't here anymore.
Yeah, he left some burn marks in the driveway. He got out of here in a hurry.
Yeah.
He was pretty upset. Anyway, you guys should check out Rick's Record Shack. It's at 3348 Lakeshore Road in Hamburg, New York. I've been there. I bought some Zappa there. I got some Elvis Costello. I know,
nice.
Will, you've been in there too. Have you found anything?
Yeah.
Any treasures?
Actually, I picked up Veronica by Elvis Costello on a 45, which I really was looking for. And he's got some really decently priced 45s, vinyl, CDs, tapes, whatever you can find. And it's become one of my new favorite places to kind of stop by.
Yeah, and Rick's an awesome guy. Anytime you come in, he'll chat you up. And if you're really lucky, he does have a tiny little white fluffy dog named Elvis.
Oh, I didn't see the dog last time.
He's only been there like one of the times I've been there, and he's so adorable. I just want to punch him in the face. We're also
talking about Dennis or the dog.
I gave him a good uppercut before he left, but
yeah.
If he wanted to return, I'd punch him in the face again.
I think it just needs to cool off a little bit, man.
Yeah, I understand. Those chasers can be a persistent, stubborn, angry group of people.
It's like a religion.
It is.
So, once again, kind of filling in for Dennis here, I mean, allwnyradio.com, go check out the other great programming, including streaming web radio of all local music, blog reviews, they got podcasts by Think So Joe, Corey Comments, The Big Picture with Michael Sergeant, a podcast that explores photography, the insufferable mendacity of Spectrum cable technicians, and how a ghost visited him in a dream to solve a family crime. So that all sounds pretty interesting.
And don't forget, Think So Joe podcast, hosted by Homer Van Winkle. That's his name.
That's his real name?
Homer Van Winkle is who hosts the Think So Joe podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, Struggle Is Real podcast, Twitter, at least Ryan right now, at the Sir William Idol, and just check out the podcast in general. It's Sir Podcast NY.
All right, Will.
Hey, Ryan.
You might be my co-host next week.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to have to get that on-air talent thing under control.
Yeah. Well, either bring Dennis back or you get to host. So it's really up in the air. So, everyone, we're going to leave you with a Stephen Hawking tribute.
Yes.
So for Will Webb, for Dennis Reed, wherever he is drowning his sorrows in a bottle of Johnny Walker, I'm Ryan Gurnett. Stay struggling, folks.
And let me just say what nobody else wants to say to you. Your looks have become a problem.